Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, there's a big baseball game tonight.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Blue Jays and Mariners, game 7 of the ALCS. I guess the game's in Toronto tonight.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jays just put up that they're having some issues with Ticketmaster.
Uh-oh.
Because of the AWS outage earlier today. And so there might be an issue with some fans getting into the stadium tonight in Toronto.
Wouldn't you have already had your tickets by now? Most people. I'm not saying there's not going to be an issue if you got late tickets yesterday for your birthday or something, but wouldn't most people already have downloaded their tickets and put them in their wallet?
Maybe. I remember not too long ago going to Kauffman Stadium, and I had not moved my tickets out of my Major League Baseball account into my wallet on my phone because I've never had a problem with it. And when we got up to the parking guy, and I'm like, I go, dude, I can't get into my tickets. He goes, just honest to God, he goes, we're having this problem with everybody. Just go find yourself a spot. And I did. And I think we were just at the turnstiles to get into the stadium when the Major League Baseball app started working again.
Yeah. Just gives us an idea of... What if the internet goes down?
How we're all connected. I mean, in silly ways, like I can't get into my game, which would be very expensive tonight, and in super important ways, like I can't get into my bank.
But you would have already maybe, my guess is, I don't know how that works on something like this, where if the Mariners had won last night, there is no need for a game 7. So do you buy the tickets in advance and then
if
the team doesn't play, they refund you? Is that how it works, Kramer?
Yes.
They'll just refund you?
Because with our Brewers team that we were cheering for, there was no need. I mean, they got shellacked.
But you would still buy a bulk of tickets so that you have them and then you get refunded.
Okay. All right.
If it's not needed.
Well, I'm very much looking. I don't have a dog in this fight. I really don't care who wins. But it's going to be fun. I believe it is at, 7 o'clock tonight?
7 o'clock.
is it 7 o'clock in
Canadian
time?
No, we are not going
there.
It is, just watch at 7.
Well, but they're in the Eastern time zone, Dana. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to know.
Just need to tell me that it's 7 o'clock here and we will all move on.
But is it?
See, we've already talked about this. We talked about it last night. I was like, tell me when we need to be home because I really want to see it.
Dan?
I'm going to be lost once baseball's over.
Kramer, do you know?
Don't bite.
Bite!
Yeah, I thought it was 7.
Don't bite. We're fine.
It is at 7 o'clock, 7:10 Central Standard.
Okay.
Central Daylight Time.
So that would be 8:10 Canadian Eastern Time.
Right. Well, I'm not in Canada, Dan.
Correct.
Can we talk for a little bit about, not looking to make this a topic, what happened with the former Buccaneers running back...
He died.
Who died in police custody. But back up.
Okay.
Was he trying to break into someone's home at 4 a.m.?
So his name is Doug Martin.
And we had asked Kramer about this off air. I don't follow the Buccaneers. Was this like a big time player? You said yes.
He was the 31st overall pick, first round.
Okay.
In 2012, it came out of Boise State. He had a brilliant rookie season, rushed for 1,454 yards, 11 touchdowns, earned a Pro Bowl berth in his rookie year.
Okay, so he's
in the
like
NFL.
A well-known good football player who has since retired. What I don't understand, this is terribly sad no matter what happened. Why?
I wouldn't say he was he wasn't a great player. He had a total of 5,356 rushing yards.
So he's implicated in a burglary?
They're calling it a home invasion, Dan.
Uh-huh.
But
he dies in police custody after being arrested.
Yeah, he was found inside the home and then died in police custody. But what I'm the whole thing is terrible. The officers are on leave, which is completely standard in a case like this.
That's correct.
But he is accused of being involved in this home burglary before the medical emergency, whatever happened with the officers that took his life. And, you know, not that we haven't seen poor adult behavior in our professional athletes who have since retired, but what are you doing at 4 a.m. if true, breaking into someone's house? Would he not have been a millionaire?
Not necessarily. I mean, how many times have we heard stories? And I don't know if he was or wasn't. It's none of my business. But how many times have we heard stories about the famous athlete who, you know, is paid millions of dollars and then ends up spending all of it during his playing career? I mean, look at if I'm not mistaken, and I reserve the right to be mistaken, Derek Thomas. If I remember those stories right, and you and I I was working here, you were over at Channel 5, we both covered the auction that was occurring at his house in Lee's Summit.
He had very little money left at the end of his life.
I believe at the end of his career, Derek Thomas had $2 million. Not that that's anything to sneeze at, but you would think with a guy, you know, who was at the top of his game, literally and figuratively, at the top of his game, he would have more than $2 million left. Some of these guys just blow through their money.
Remember, and pardon me if I pronounce it wrong, Siavi Jr.?
Siavi,
thank you. He was a former Chiefs player that ran afoul of the law, and he died in the federal lockup over in Leavenworth.
There has to be more to the story, and, you know, need to wait and see what the investigation shows. But the police department says this is directly from the police department, was involved at a break-in in a home.
In Oakland.
Before whatever happened. And I don't like it calling it a medical emergency because there are allegations that he was put in some kind of, he was restrained or chokehold or something, and that's not okay either. But we'll update you on that as we learn more.
It says here in this story, this is from the USA Today, while responding officers were attempting to detain him, a brief struggle occurred. After being taken into custody, Martin became unresponsive. And that was at 4:15 Saturday morning, local time.
Okay.
These types of things can escalate quickly.
Well, it's sad.
We just don't know why he was in the house. And it, you know, it's sad. There's loss of life. When we find out more, we will let you know.
Okay. What time's that game tonight?
7 o'clock.
8:10 Eastern Canadian time.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Is that 5:30 here?
No.
No, it's 6 Mountain time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 6 Mountain.
6 Mountain.
Mm-hmm. 6 Mountain. Yep. So, what time are you going to be in front of the TV there, Dana?
7 o'clock. Scott.
7 o'clock. Okay, just checking. I'm just checking. hey, folks! If you missed a segment of the Dana Parks program, be sure to check out the Dana Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
I'm very excited about this biopic that's coming out about Sylvester Stallone, who sent his best wishes yesterday to the team of his new biopic, I Play Rocky, including the actor who will soon embody his younger self on screen, and the kid looks almost just like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, back in the day. How old was he when Rocky was filmed?
So
mid-20s?
He's currently 79, so let's say 80. Rocky came out in 76, I believe it was.
29. He was older. 29. Yeah. I thought he was young 20s. Nope.
The movie I Play Rocky started filming on Friday of last week, according to Stallone. Good luck to them. Keep punching. Who's playing him? Let me see if I can find his name in here somewhere. Anyway, 25 years old. He's a dead ringer for Sly. He plays an early career Stallone from the 1960s to 1976 as the showbiz unknown wrote and eventually starred in Rocky, all the way to the Best Picture Oscar win over the likes of... Here are the movies that Rocky beat for Best Picture.
Okay.
Network, All the President's Men,
wow,
and Taxi Driver.
Everybody loved it. It was universally beloved.
It is the ultimate Hollywood underdog story. Casting news is slowly trickling out.
I can't wait to see the Bruce Springsteen.
I was just going to. So, right here.
God, he looks good.
This is why I brought this story up. 20th Century Studios on Facebook just put out the new trailer.
It's incredible.
And it comes out in 4 days. And it looks so good.
That might be one we have to go to the theaters to watch, truly. Did I tell you over the weekend we went to my favorite little coffee shop? And it's...
Is this Station 3 or whatever it is?
That's one of my top three.
Is it Station 3?
Station 3.
Okay.
Oh, it's a good one.
That's right down the street from my house.
We also went to Equinox, which is inside this family garden center, right? And we got a couple of pollinators because it's not too late to plant some bushes and shrubs and flowers that will bring back the butterflies the next time they're around. I'm adding butterflies to my repertoire, Scott.
Birds and now butterflies?
Yeah, we're going to be pollinator garden people.
Have you noticed a larger amount of butterflies this fall?
Yes, because people know you're supposed to be planting this thing to help them along during the migration.
Yeah.
So a rare butterfly has been found in Kansas City. This is from the Kansas City Star, but I saw this on Facebook last week. Is it a ghost or a genetic anomaly? A member of the Missouri Department of Conservation has spotted an animal in Kansas City that is usually seen 4,000 miles away.
Huh.
The department showed in a social media post that assistant natural history biologist Amanda Gehan found a white monarch butterfly, a variation of the famous insect that is usually seen only in Hawaii. And I'm going to show you a picture. It's exactly what you think, but to see it throws you off for a minute.
It's almost like an albino monarch butterfly.
It's a zebra butterfly.
Yeah, all right. There's no orange.
We don't get those here. They're supposed to be in Hawaii. I think this one's lost. She did find it at an official Monarch Way station near her home in Kansas City with the help of Monarch Watch. That's the group that tracks the butterflies for the migration run through the University of Kansas. So go get your butterfly bush. We got one of those this weekend.
What's a butterfly bush?
It's just a butterfly bush, what they call it. Look it up. They love it. They lay their eggs on it. The new butterflies hatch from it.
Is it like a lavender bush?
There are purple varieties and burgundy varieties. We also got some echinacea, which the butterflies love. Planted those on Saturday.
Okay.
Great fun.
Word out of Paris now, they are looking for four men.
Well, they knew who they were looking for because it was broad daylight, right? They knew there were men. They knew there were four of them that came in through the ladder. And they have surveillance video of them smashing through the glass cases.
Oh, this just came in from... Well, no, it came in over the weekend, sorry. Pedro Hernandez, the man convicted of killing Eitan Peitz, must be retried.
Oh, God.
By June.
I thought you were keeping going with the Louvre. You just ripped the rug right out from under me.
Sorry, I'm perusing the internet, and this story just came up.
Okay, Louvre has stopped. They're looking for four men.
That is correct.
Comma, Eitan Peitz's murderer, they're saying they've got to let him go or retry him.
Pedro Hernandez, the man convicted of abducting and murdering Eitan Peitz, must be retried by June 2026 or he will be released from custody, according to a federal judge in New York. This is the latest twist in what Judge Colleen McMahon called the nearly half-century-long saga of the disappearance and presumptive murder of Eitan Peitz. That is correct. He was the original...
Milk carton. He and Adam Walsh. Let me tell you this, Scott. Mm-hmm. There is not a shred, if memory serves, not a shred of physical evidence tying this man to that child's disappearance. He worked at a grocery store not far by. They do not have a body. They do not have a motive. They have a general time of day because it was the first time that child was ever allowed to walk to school on his own. He never arrived. If they retry him, he will be acquitted.
Absolutely. Well, and dare I say it, probably rightfully so.
I don't know that we're ever going to really know what happened in that case, Scott.
He has confessed to killing Eitan Peitz, and he was convicted, I think, like 6, 7, 8 years ago. But he also has a history of mental health problems.
It was a jail informant. I think he said he confessed against his will.
His first trial ended.
No evidence linking him to that case at all.
His first trial ended as a hung jury, and then in 2017, they brought him back up on a second trial. He was convicted of kidnapping and murder, sentenced to 25 years to life in prison. But because of a lack of physical evidence, to your point, Dana, the trial hinged entirely on purported confessions from Pedro Hernandez, who has a documented history of mental illness and a very low IQ.
No body, no fingerprints, no DNA. And if memory serves, Eitan's mother has passed. I think his father might still be alive.
But if there's no evidence, I mean, how can you, in good, I'm not saying you, it's a collective you. How can you, in good conscience, put a man in prison for presumably the rest of his life if there is nothing but a purported jailhouse confession?
In 2004, Eitan's mom and dad, Stanley and Julie Peitz, won a $2 million wrongful death lawsuit against Jose Ramos, a man who had never been charged in the disappearance, but whom police and prosecutors had considered to be the lead suspect in that case. Again, there was no evidence linking him. And a jailhouse informant claimed that he had overheard him bragging about killing the child. They're never going to know.
No, they probably won't.
They're never going to know.
But Eitan Peitz, this was in New York City, is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Was it in Manhattan, do you remember?
Manhattan, I believe.
And where do you hide a body in Manhattan?
Scott, I don't know. They're never going to know what happened to that
possible,
child.
Is it possible? And listen, I have incredible sympathy for his parents. And we all remember, if you're of a certain age, the Eitan Peitz picture on the milk carton, right? Is it possible that he was kidnapped and not murdered?
I think there are some things worse than death, Scott. And, you know, when you look at the case out of Portugal, Madeleine McCann. And they wonder, is she still out there? Is she still alive? I don't know. I just think in that particular case, it was the first time there was like a national effort to get that child's photo out there. And I just think we would know by now. We, with all of the attention on that case specifically, we would know. Maybe. We would know by now.
You're probably right. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the Channel 5 website, but it's based out of St. Peter's, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A judge in Missouri has ruled against a homeowner's sunflower garden after receiving neighbor complaints. Chris Banks said that he started the sunflower garden to remember a loved one. Quoting her from Chris, she truly loves sunflowers, and I thought it would be fitting for her to be part of it. But the garden has since turned into a legal battle with city officials saying he is not following city ordinance in St. Peter's. Quoting here, I thought this was crazy, going to court over sunflowers. But last week, a judge ended up siding with the city, saying that Banks' sunflowers are a crop and they cover more than 10% of his yard.
Come on.
New documents from the city show complaints from neighbors over the years. According to the documents, some neighbors noted that the sunflowers were getting ridiculous to look at. Their words, not mine. With others commenting on Banks' character, calling him vindictive. Says Mr. Banks, I don't know who would say that and not give an example. And obviously, there would be court cases on that kind of stuff if that was an issue.
He wants to go to a higher court in a different area and say, let put this in front of a jury of my peers. This is not Grinter Farms, by the way. This is, you know, he has them scattered throughout the yard.
Well,
they are now dead, dying, and have served their glorious purpose. While they are bloomed, it would be stunning to look at.
For 2 weeks.
They look like my black-eyed Susans right now. They're just dark and dormant and bleh.
So to paint the mental picture for all of you, and there's no indication of an HOA being involved here. This is a city ordinance that Chris Bank apparently violated. But let me paint this picture for you, if I may, and just draw it in your mind's eye. He lives in a rather modest home. I would guess probably 2,000 square feet.
Little cul-de-sac.
Yep, side garage. And in his yard, I would say in the front yard, it covers, my guess is 80 to 85% of the front yard. It is nothing but huge sunflowers, some rising higher than 6 feet tall, it looks.
Now, sunflowers theoretically are a weed, correct? I think I've read that.
I don't know that.
But when they are planted in their full glory, I think it's absolutely gorgeous. These are just dormant. I don't, you know, what I want to live next to, how many do you think there are there, Scott?
Probably
400? Not even that many.
No, 300? It's not that much. It's more than 100. I would say probably between 150 and 200.
Do they not have better things to worry about in St. Peter's, Missouri?
A sunflower can be a weed, Dana, especially the common wild variety, the ones that are grown over here where they stash all the marijuana and cocaine.
Can you imagine fining Grinter Farms for their sunflowers? It'd be $1 billion.
No, but that's...
Tear it down.
But that is rural property. I'm assuming it is a farm.
It is.
And it can be, if you cultivate it, it can be a crop. I mean, we get sunflower seeds from somewhere. I'm assuming
but
they come from sunflowers.
Call me crazy. He's using this as a crop. I understand you don't want someone planting, 50 row of corn in their front yard.
But and that was going to be my example. A stalk of corn can be six, 7 feet tall. What if the loved one that he's planting these sunflowers...
loved
corn.
We're going to do a corn maze right in that front yard.
So I think the reason that some people might, and I think you're included, might be sympathetic to him is because it's a sunflower or sunflowers. If this was corn or gigantic watermelons...
We've seen this with wildflower gardens before where neighbors complain and these are weeds... And then the homeowner says, no, they are not. These are flowers. This is a wildflower garden. This is a pollinator garden. You know, one man's garden is another man's eyesore.
There was one homeowner, if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I am, in Brookside many years ago when we were on the air. We were on
it was
the
all
air.
All so flowers.
It was all natural.
Yeah.
Like they didn't.
Native grasses.
Let's just say Ryan Lawn and Tree hadn't been by in a while. If you know what I mean.
I do remember that.
And they let their yard go wild, but literally and figuratively.
Do you remember that house was also a lot of those Brookside houses was built up on some land. It was higher, and you really couldn't mow that front yard anyway. It was an incredibly steep slope down to the sidewalk and road. I remember thinking at the time, like, if you were going to put that in anywhere, it would be with a property like this. Because you can't get a riding mower on the side hill.
But how long? Or let me rephrase that. How far can you go with your property rights before you infringe on mine?
I don't know, Scott. That's interesting. 8 feet, I would say, would be where the
why
I would
you
the
go
line.
With 8 feet?
I just feel like that if there's a nuisance property in your neighborhood, 8 feet is probably where
would it be 8 feet and 3 inches.
It might be
if measured correctly.
I don't know. If they were sunflowers, I would probably like them when they were bloomed and prefer that they be cut down when they're not blooming.
What if it was a pickleball court?
That would have to go to a vote.
Would it?
No.
You brought it up. I didn't. But I'm being serious.
How far is he from the nearest house on this cul-de-sac?
Dana, it's not far. I mean, look at the picture.
Yeah, these are little airplane bungalows and ranches.
Mm-hmm. The nearest house... Well, here's what I'll tell you about the nearest house. In this picture from...
You can see it.
You can see it, but not all of it because it's obscured by sunflowers.
Let me ask you this. Could you put them against the back and the sides of the house so that you could mow the front yard? Because I don't know how you mow with this many sunflowers.
You don't,
right?
So my neighbor Pete across the street, the good-looking guy that all the women in the neighborhood love, he has a sunflower that's in his landscaping.
Yeah, just one.
It's just one, and it's on the landscaping on the front of his house. And I'm not going to lie, it doesn't offend me at all. I'll sit there on a nice summer night, and I'll just look at his sunflower. It's beautiful. But he has one. He doesn't have 191 like this guy. I mean, if whoever this loved one is, and I'm sorry that you lost them, put one or two on the side yard, maybe one in the backyard. Your entire front yard does not, if you live in a subdivision, does not need to be a sunflower farm.
Would you agree with me? You put that in the backyard, I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it at all.
In the backyard, I don't have a problem with it.
Nope.
It is in the front yard.
Well, and who among us doesn't try, and we failed this year, to grow some crops? My neighbors to the south, Scott and Stacy, they grow onions and tomatoes every summer.
Who brought the tomatoes to work, by the way, last week?
I don't know.
And set them down on the front counter. I took those home. They were incredible.
We tried to grow tomatoes this summer. It was a disaster.
Yeah, it's an art.
We got one that we could use.
Did you do it in a container?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's supposed to be easier.
a big wooden pot.
Okay.
Like this big.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we have rabbits, but
probably.
We got one tomato.
You got one lone tomato
that we could use. One.
Give it another year. Try next year.
No, because I didn't realize I had never grown tomatoes before. I sound like Larry Moore from Channel 9.
You do.
I know. Those plants get so big. They're out of control.
You got an enormous out of control tomato plant from which you got
one.
Got it.
The rabbits got a lot. We got one. It was the first one. And then word got around in a small country town that, Scott's trying to grow tomatoes, so here come the rabbits.
Okay.
Would you want that next door to you? Let me re-ask the question.
The bar has been lowered.
Would you prefer that or a pickleball court
such a point
next to you?
At this point, I probably would prefer the flowers. Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't make that thwacking noise.
Get some bees and some other pollinators.
Have you tried to approach the homeowner and maybe befriend her?
No, we're past that, Scott.
Is it a hate?
No, I don't like that word.
Okay, a dislike, a strong dislike.
I would prefer flowers.
What if the next thing that they put up over there is lighting?
Then I will match it with a circus tent and a NASCAR track in my backyard.
Okay.
Let's just see how far we can take this.
Okay.
An MMA cage. I don't know if we'll have time.
913-58. Do you have an HOA out there?
We do not.
Clearly not. 913.
Clearly we do not.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, that guy over there is Kramer filling in for Sam. He's back next week. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We'll grab one real quick. Let's go to Mary in Oak Grove. Mary, good afternoon. Hello.
Good morning or good evening. I used to live at Orchard Farm, which is just down in the floodplain past St. Peter's. I rented a farmhouse and I planted a lot of flowers. And my landlord surprised me by saying, get rid of the sunflowers. He said they will take over. And I believe they're in the same class as Johnson grass, which is a noxious weed. And once these things get started, he said they would fill the soil in to the extent that a team of mules used to not be able to go through that farmland.
Hmm.
I would not be surprised if there is a law in St. Charles County against them, but certainly I would not plant them there because somebody would do me bodily harm for having them.
Hey, okay. Mary, thank you for the call.
All right. Do appreciate it. It is a weed, as you mentioned. I did not know that.
I want to wrap the hour with the documentary everyone is talking about. It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's on Netflix. We watched the first 5 minutes and then something came up and we had to stop. I will go back and watch it,
you're recommending something that you've only seen five minutes of?
It's one of those, Scott, that I'm like, I don't know that I have it in me right now to watch this.
What is it?
It is called The Perfect Neighbor. Huh. We set a reminder that it was starting Friday night on Netflix. And it is a case out of Florida where a bunch of little kids are playing in the neighborhood and there's a vacant lot. And you have a crazy person living in one of the houses who starts abusing the 911 system. morning, noon, and night. The kids are out playing again. Come out here. And you know when you call police, police have to come.
But why are they calling them on kids playing?
Because she's crazy. Yeah. She doesn't want them looking over at her property. She doesn't want them setting foot on her property. They don't belong on that lot over there, which she does not own. And it escalates into the worst you can imagine. Okay? And that's why I was like, God.
Isn't that a bit of a misnomer to call it the perfect neighbor, though?
Yeah. You got to really be like, all right, am I in the right frame of mind to watch this? I mention it because it's got the 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. You'll see it online everywhere. Everyone's talking about it. She's an old cranky, crazy woman who does not want – she's the get off my lawn woman. Mm-hmm.
And you've seen 5 minutes of it, and you're already recommending
it. It's a lot of body camera footage. And in one of the body camera
scenes – is it real?
Scenes,
is it true?
Oh, yes. Yeah. In one of the scenes, the officer says to his partner, my God, she's crazy. And what do you do? You know, we're talking about sunflowers on somebody's lawn. That's one thing. This is what do you do when you live next to somebody that decides, I get to decide what children get to play out here and why, and then starts calling 911.
Well, wait a minute, though. Hang on.
I think there's like 200 911 calls or something crazy.
Do police not have any discretion? Like, let's say—
to not to come out?
Yes. Like, there are kids playing in my neighbor's yard. Well, okay. I mean, if somebody called into 911—
Yeah.
And said, I didn't get enough hot sauce with my Taco Bell. Police aren't required to go out to that, are they? Well, that's not an emergency. I mean, that's the whole point of the 911 system is that it's for emergencies or things that the person calling probably can't take care of. I mean, if you were to call 911 and say there's a dead possum in the street in my neighborhood.
Yeah. We've got other things to do right now.
I mean, I would bet that the Shawnee Police Department would say, Mr. Parks, that's a 311 call, not a 911 call. We're not sending anybody out to examine the dead possum that is in your front yard.
But it's looking at me meanly.
It's dead.
A perfect neighbor is what it calls. Mm-hmm. We might try to check that out. Football's on late tonight. If we don't, tomorrow, we'll do it Wednesday.
There's two games. Baseball's on at 7:10. There's a regular game at 7 o'clock, I believe, Monday Night Football. And then the Texans play the Seahawks at 9 o'clock tonight, our time. It's going to be a late night at the Parks house. 913-586-7798. Hey, if you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.